Hello, this is Happily Ever After is Just the Beginning. I'm Leslie Dorries. One of the two most common reasons my clients give for coming to see me is, we don't communicate. But of course they do. They communicate all the time. In fact, it's almost impossible to not communicate as long as you're awake. The real problem that my clients face is that they either don't like or they don't understand what is being communicated. But we communicate in all different kinds of ways. We communicate with the looks on our face, with our body language, with our tone of voice, even not responding at all. All of these things communicate something to your partner. The question isn't, am I communicating, but what am I communicating? Joining me today to talk about the importance of effective communication in relationships is Brian Toter. He is a professional hypnotist, author, and speaker with over 30 years in the media and on stage who helps people improve their lives for the better. So, Brian, welcome.
Thanks for having me. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Well, yeah, I mean, we all know that communication is essential to accomplishing anything, whether it's in our business or our personal lives. But what have you found gets in the way of people having, being able to communicate with another person?
Well, there's so, boy, this is
here's a loaded hours. Question for you. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. All right, I just took my glasses off. I'm sitting back. This is a tough question because there's so many things that can happen. I think the first thing that you need in communication is you need a purpose. You just can't come in and start rambling on. If you have a point to make, make the point. Have a goal. Have something that you really want to say. Another thing is don't make the other person guess.
And
this is a guy-girl thing. And as a guy, I don't want to be the amazing Kreskin. If you want to tell me something, just tell me because there's no way I can read your mind. And this happens
but
a lot.
But if you loved me, but if you really loved me, Brian, you would know what I was thinking. You would know what I want.
I do love you, but it doesn't work that way. Seriously. But it happens in business. It happens with parents. My mom might call me up and say, I don't understand. Why didn't you do this? You were supposed to. I was like, Ma.
You never told me that's what you wanted.
Yeah, but this happens all the time, whether it's brother and sister, husband and wife, boyfriend and girlfriend. It happens because the person has something in their head. They have what they think the other person should be thinking or be saying or be doing when all you have to do is just tell them. Tell them what you want.
And why do you think that is so difficult to do? Why do you think it's so hard just to say, hey, could we do this? or could you do this?
Your listeners aren't going to like this answer.
Okay.
I think, and this is going to be brutal. I think most people are immature communicators. They don't know how to do it. They just don't know. They're still communicating, especially guys. Guys communicate, many guys, not generalize here, many guys communicate the same way they do in high school and college. They've never evolved. A lot of women are communicating to men the way they communicate with their women friends, and you can't do that. Or they just communicate like kids. And it can't be that way. When I speak to somebody, I really want to get my point across. I will not only say what I mean, but my whole body expresses it. And we'll talk about that later on, I guess. It's called congruency, where your whole body is completely congruent, where you're not looking around the room trying to say something sincere.
Right. And it's sort of like when somebody's asked a question, how are you, or something, and they go, fine. And the word is fine, but their body language, their tone, it's like, I am not fine, but yeah. I've just told you I'm fine.
Yeah, and it infuriates guys a lot. Well, I don't know how the women do it because I'm a guy.
You're not, right.
But I still remember a conversation when I think I was 32, and I was on a date with my girlfriend, and she had just gotten her hair done, and she was a hairstylist too. So she had her hair cut and colored and everything, and she said, you know, you didn't mention my hair. And I said, oh, it looks fine.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, fine. Fine? Never tell a girl that, you know, and it's like, what the heck is that? So
right, what's wrong with fine? Yeah.
What's wrong with fine, but this has so many layers to it. It's what was the purpose of the question?
Mm-hmm.
I guess she wanted a compliment, and what was the purpose of the fine thing? Was it to get into a fight? Was it to argue? There was an underlying purpose to that. One of the things I always teach in my hypnosis center is every behavior has a positive intention, whether it's a negative behavior or a positive behavior. There's something that they're getting out of it.
Oh,
and
okay.
This is years, we're talking decades ago, and I still remember this conversation. So I think the purpose of the conversation was to get into an argument because she loved to argue. That was her, she loved drama. So I think the whole point of it was to rile me up.
Well, I mean, and I, speaking, you know, speaking as a woman, which I've been all my life, you know, a lot of times what my guess is what she wanted was she wanted you to notice.
Mm-hmm.
And when you didn't notice, then she took a message away from that. And, of course, that's communication is, you know, what, not just what message are you sending, but what's the message that the other person is receiving. When I work with my clients all the time, one of the questions I ask is, did you ever play a game of telephone when you were a kid?
Mm-hmm.
And they go, yeah. And I said, well, you know what started out was very different from what came out because it passes through every single person's lens.
Mm-hmm.
I heard it this way.
Right. And,
you know,
and
so,
what makes it even worse nowadays is a lot of people are using email and texts. And
yeah.
I always tell people and women that I date, I really don't want to text back and forth in a conversation because you can't hear my voice. And I can't tell you how many misunderstandings happen where I misunderstand what she's saying and she's misunderstanding me because I can't hear the voice inflection. I didn't know that the word that was supposed to have an emphasis on it, which would, if it doesn't have an emphasis, the whole sentence changes and it means something completely different. So
right.
If I read it differently than she than she's sending it, he's saying it in her head one way and I'm reading it a different way, you get
right.
a big misunderstanding.
That actually happened with some clients of mine. They weren't in a really good place when obviously they were seeing me, and she was going away for the weekend with some girlfriends, and what he said to her was, I don't want you to go. What he meant
yeah.
was, I'm going to miss you. What she heard was, I'm forbidding you from going. Now, you can get the same meaning out of those words, I don't want you to go. And
right.
they ended up having a big, huge fight, not talking to each other for 2 weeks.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. But this is, and you know, it's funny. When you see it on television, it's hysterical. When it happens to you in real life, it's a stick in
not
the
so
eye.
Not so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
well,
this happens all the time. This is, everywhere.
And I really like your emphasis on, and you've actually said it, because I actually tell people, say what you mean and mean what you say. And then
mm-hmm.
I also back it up in, what is the purpose of you having this conversation?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you about to start this conversation? What's your goal? You know. And then I always go,
mm-hmm.
okay, and if you have identified your goal, are the words that are going to come out of your mouth going to get you to that goal or not get you to that goal? And if it's
mm-hmm.
not get you to that goal, what can you do differently? You know.
Right. But that said, some people will they'll say something with a double meaning on purpose because it's a passive-aggressive way of communicating.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll try to get a rise out of somebody by saying something else, And then it's ends up being a convoluted conversation. It doesn't make sense, and then you end up with an argument. Well, you know, I wanted you to do this, but I really wanted you to do that. Well, how am I supposed to know that? This is what drives guys crazy, by the way. It really does. It drives me nuts. And this doesn't happen a lot because the women that I attract and want to attract, I need that communication. I need the mature conversation. Because if they start with all the silly stuff and passive aggressive, I don't even want to be in it. Because it's exhausting.
So they just fall off your list right there. It's like, okay, let me, you know, next.
Next. Not that there's a million of them.
Right. Well, it's really interesting because, you know, and part of this is part of how we've been trained, because whether or not we like to admit it, and I think there's some admitted pushback to this, which has its own problems because you've got, you know, the opposite sides of the pendulum, is that, you know, a lot of times women are told we're not supposed to ask for what we want. In fact, there was just, I can't remember who the CEO of some company, some big company basically said that women shouldn't ask for promotions or raises, that they should just let their performance go. So, I mean, this is still going on now where we're not supposed to really ask for what we want. So we're kind of asking that roundabout, considered passive-aggressive way of, you know, where would you like to go for dinner tonight? Well, I want to go here. Well, what about this other place? You know, when I'm really telling you, I really want to go to this second place, you know, but I've asked you, where do you want to go? You've given me a choice. Well, but what about this other place? It's like, just tell me you want to go there.
If someone says, where do you want to go? I personally, I think that's an open-end question that says, where do you want to go? That's
right.
That's what I hear. That's what goes in my little brain. And what comes out is the answer to where do I want to go? Oh, I want to go to that steakhouse that just opened up at the mall. Oh, well, I don't know if I'm into steak. I would rather her say, I just heard about this new Korean restaurant down in Philadelphia. Can we go there?
Yeah.
That would be a lot of fun. Oh,
right.
Okay. And then we're done, and we just get dressed and go. But when it becomes back and forth, and it's like tennis, we're lobbing these conversations back and forth, it makes life so easy. I'm telling you, I love the transparency. If someone just says, could we do this? That'd be great. You know, women would say to a guy, you never asked me to dance. Ask the guy to dance, to say, honey, I would really like the song. Let's dance to this. Okay.
But you're supposed to want to dance with me. Why should I have to ask you?
Yeah,
because if you really wanted to do it, you'd ask me.
Yeah, I know. Again, you're turning me into the amazing Kreskin. I can't read minds. I wish I could.
On some level, it could either be a good thing or really just dangerous. It's like, oh my gosh, that's what that person is thinking?
Yeah. Well, there was a movie about that with Mel Gibson, What Women Think.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's every guy's dream until it actually happens. What's she talking about now?
but you know, so I realize some of this, and I know people don't like to hear this, but some of this is both biological, the way our brains are just wired, and then the second thing is socialization. It's like, you know, I was saying, you know, women are kind of told, well, don't be direct, because if we're direct, then we're called aggressive and a bunch of other worse things, you know, and. But what do you think makes it so difficult for? I mean, I know you said something about maturity of communication, but what do you think makes it so difficult for us to become mature communicators?
Well, I had to learn to do it. I really learned how to communicate. I read books. I watched videos. I studied people who were resourceful people, and I learned how to get my point across. I think there was a program that I listened to called How to Get Your Point Across in 4 seconds or 30 seconds or something like that. Because you have to, whether it's business or love or, you know, whatever it is, you want to get your point across. If I'm going to buy a movie ticket, I don't say, well, What kind of movie do you have? And how long is it? And can you do it under 7? No, you say, I want to see the Hulk at 2 o'clock. And,
right.
And here's my money. And you're done. That's the communication. I know this is really simplistic, but I don't know why I said the Hulk. Isn't that weird that I just blurted that out?
Yeah, interesting about communication because, yeah, that's,
yeah,
you know, that's interesting. But I just want to remind
the Hulk. What was I thinking?
Right. I just want to remind my listeners that we're talking to Brian Toter, who is an author, speaker, and hypnotist. He's our guest today on Happily Ever After is Just the Beginning on webtalkradio.net. I'm Leslie Dorries, and we're talking about the importance of good communication and in order to have a happy, successful relationship. So let's go back into that.
Also to answer the question, some people may say, well, why should you be doing a hypnotist? Well, hypnosis is language. It's all language. You're speaking, you're talking to the person. And when you're a hypnotist or you're doing neuro-linguistic programming, which is a branch of hypnosis, you're speaking and you need to be crystal clear. You can't be ambiguous. That said, there's a part of hypnosis that actually uses generalized language where you speak in such a general way that the person interprets it in their own way, which brings me to the point that perception is reality. Whatever you perceive in your head is the truth. So if the woman is perceiving one thing and the guy is perceiving another thing, they're both right.
Exactly.
The problem is they're on two different islands.
Right. They're actually not participating in the same conversation,
exactly.
But they are both right.
But they're both right.
Yeah.
So she's mad at him and he's mad at her and, you know, I hate you and you stink. And yet, he doesn't understand it, and she doesn't get him. She thinks, you know, he's some schmuck, and he thinks she's, you know, what? And it's a shame because it happens everywhere. It still happens to me. People just can't communicate. And tell you a funny story, a funny thing that I just discovered, because I'm doing this internet dating, and it's killing me. It really is. I really hate it because...
Well, now everything, because that's all over the computer until you can actually meet in person. Absolutely. That's just words.
It's the worst because not only do you have pictures, and not all the pictures are truthful, but you also have people who write a profile, and they don't know how to write the profile, so you're trying to figure out what the heck are they trying to say, and then you try to message them, and so they don't know how to write properly, and they're saying something different, and they misinterpret what you're saying, so it's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an Instagram account called Bye Philippe, like the French guy's name,
right.
Philippe, however you spell it. And I found this on Facebook, actually. It's very interesting to look at this thing, because what it is, it's screenshots of communication between men and women.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's really skewed towards the woman because it shows the really awful bad behavior. Now, if you went to bad language, you really don't want to look at this because it gets really, really bad.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy will come on and say, he'll text somebody on Facebook, for instance, and say, hi, honey, how are you? And he doesn't get an answer.
Right.
And then... what's the matter with you? Blah, 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 blah. And then, and still no answer. And then the screaming and all the words come out.
Right.
And it's amazing. Or it's like, they actually explain it this way. The person who wrote this said, the guy is afraid of being embarrassed,
mm-hmm.
you know, online. He's afraid of looking bad.
Right.
The girl is afraid of being killed.
Well, I was going to say, and that's something to be real about. And of course, when we're in, hopefully just in everyday communication
right.
with the people that we know, we're not worried about being killed. But I think it's very interesting that you talk about being embarrassed and for men, because shame's huge for men, and you know, and women want to be connected. So you know, and of course, we use language in multiple ways. And so one of the things I always tell my clients is, okay, tell your partner what you want from them, because men are always trying to fix things. So if I'm having a conversation with my husband, he's like, okay, where's the problem and where's the solution? And I may just be, you know, venting. I may just be, you know, angry at the, even this is true because I actually had a really unpleasant experience with Apple service the other day because I couldn't, obviously, I was not getting my point across. I was not communicating well. So if I was talking about that experience, I'm just venting, you know, and yeah, I can own my part of it because I'm a mature communicator, I like to think, and I can own my part of the misunderstanding. But if I were telling this story to my husband, thank goodness he wasn't, he's out of town this week, he would go, well, did you try this? Or, you know, and it's like, no, don't do that. That just makes me even madder, you know, and I think that's where a lot of times people come in and it's like, no, honey, I don't want you to fix anything. I just want you to nod in the appropriate places and tell me, yes, they were terrible, because I want to be supported and validated. I don't want you to fix anything.
This is a lesson that I learned years ago. I know this. This is a secret that most guys don't know, that sometimes the girl calls you up and just wants to vent, or she just wants to talk. You know, she had a bad day at work, and you don't. The guy wants to come in and say, well, can you talk to her about, I just got off the phone with this woman I just met online just today, and she's talking about how she did this volunteer work, and the volunteer worker is basically treating her badly and talking to her like a six-year-old, and she's doing all this work and spent all this money and spent all this time, and this worker, the volunteer worker is basically saying, you didn't do this right. You stink. This is terrible. Why are you doing? And I knew to just sit and listen. Because, and I threw in a little bit, you know, lying here and
you
there.
You knew not to say, well, why don't you do this? Or why? Yeah, you knew not to say that.
Right. Now, when she was done, I said, well, you know what you should do? You should just take the stuff and donate it to a hospital. Send her a picture that you're doing it, and you're fine. And, you know, you'll feel better. Everyone will feel better except for that lady. But I didn't sit there and say, this is what you should do because I know better. I know that women don't want to hear that. They just want you to listen to them.
Right, and sometimes the way around that, and I actually did this with my son years ago. He was having a struggle at school about something, and I didn't. My kids are always funny because they go, "We want the mom, not the therapist." No, in some cases, you really want the therapist, not mom, because mom's losing her mind right now. But you know, he went through all of this, and I didn't jump in like I normally would do, and I just stopped and I said, do you want some help with that? I actually asked, do you want some help with that? And he actually said yes, and so we came up with a game plan. But, you know, but that to me is communication. I'm not assuming that he wants help because he could have just been venting. Granted, he's a boy, and you know, he rarely does that anymore because he's now 21. So, but... You know, but it's trying to figure out, you know, what does somebody else want from you? And sometimes I think it's a whole lot easier if we just say, hey, I just need you to listen because I'm really ticked off and I just need to, like, you know, get this out of my system and then we're fine.
Yeah, but, and it's funny because I do that sometimes. Like, if I need to get my point across, I'll say something like, I need to talk for about 5 minutes. Just listen to me. Don't get upset. Don't try to interject. I just need to say this, and then let's talk about it. And it takes pressure off of everybody, even though sometimes they're jumping out of their skin. But you just have to do it. But it's mature conversation. If it turns into blame, then it's immature conversation.
Well, and I think that's what happens when we, you know, when we're upset, we don't take the moment to go, okay, what was my part in this? What is it that I really want from my partner or from the person I'm talking to? But I wanted to go back to something that you said, because you talked about learning how to do this. And I think you're right. I don't think people, you know, do this really well. I remember when I was in corporate America, I went to a communications thing and they talked about speaking and listening, which is important. But I always talk about a third thing, which is timing. You know, is this a good time to have this conversation?
Yeah.
You know, So, but what are some of the things that you took away from the research that you did? What do you think are the key components to being a mature communicator?
Well, I think, and this is going to sound so stupid, but you really have to be sincere. You just have to lay it on the line, and just speak and not worry about how bad you're going to look.
Whoa, that could take a lot of courage.
It's tough, especially as a guy. It's really tough. But you know what? I'm at the point in life where I'm tired of it all. I'm just mm-hmm. exhausted. I'm tired. And people say, you know, this is really funny. A friend of mine was in my car, and we're going back and forth about this. I talk about this a lot. And I said, I don't understand this. Women always say they don't like to play games. And he interrupted me. He says, women play games. They just do. And I said, I don't know. But he says, Brian, they just play games. They say they don't play games, but they play games. And you know what? I discovered it's right. They test men in conversations. I can just hear your audience just screaming at me right now. I think someone just threw a shoe at the phone.
At the radio.
I just, ouch. But they do. They test guys on many different levels. They do mm-hmm. play games. Unfortunately, the guys don't know the rules. And what happens with me is I've learned how to level the conversation mm-hmm. so that it becomes more mature. I'll give you a great book to read. It's Virginia Satir's The New People Making.
Okay.
Virginia Satir is one of the...
Virginia Satir is. But I'm not going to let you off the hook, though. Because men play games, too.
Yes, they do.
Especially in dating. I'll call you. And then they never call. There's a whole thing. I think it's called ghosting now. And I'm a little sensitive to this because my 18-year-old daughter just got ghosted. Although I trained her really well, she kind of went after the guy and said, "Okay, please tell me, please explain to me why suddenly you're not communicating with me at all."
Is it ghosting catfishing or ghosting?
No, it's ghosting where suddenly people just kind of disappear. You know, you've dated them a couple of times, and then they just kind of, and it's usually the guys. It's not just, I'm out of the internet world of, I'm out of the dating world and have been for years. But you know, I think guys will do this too. You know, they'll tell you, "Oh, well, I'll call you," and then they never call. It's like, okay, well, I don't know if that's a game or just an outright lie. I mean, you know, I mean, and I understand it's about letting people down easily because you don't want, I mean, but the thing is, not everybody's going to get along. Not everybody.
So why not just be honest?
Go, hey, I just don't see us going anywhere. You know?
People just don't do it. I'll give you a completely different example. In my office, I help people quit smoking, lose weight, reduce their stress. Mm-hmm. So they need to quit smoking. They're smoking two packs a day, spending $5,000 a year. Mm-hmm. They might end up with COPD. They're coughing up a lung. Their wife can't stand it. And I show them what is entailed with the whole program, and I tell them the price, and I go, "Well, yeah, I really want to do this. Okay, I'm going to talk to my wife, and I'll call you tomorrow."
Right.
And of course
they
don't
never call.
Because I know that they're doing the same thing. They're doing the same exact thing, just like, "I'll call you."
Right.
So guys do it because they don't want the drama. They don't want the woman to say, "Oh, why aren't you going to call me? Why?" So it's funny because if I go on a blind date, I say right there, "You know what? I don't think there's any chemistry. You're really nice. It's nothing personal.
Right.
But I just don't feel it. This was great. You know, I'm not buying them lobster dinner." I used to do that. I used to call it the dating tax. It was like, you know, I have to go out and now I'm spending $30 for dinner. This is a great cup of coffee. I wish you the best. I think everybody takes it well because it's a mature way of saying this. I'm not saying, you know, you really stink. You're terrible. No.
Right.
It just didn't work
well. And I think that's the point. And you and I could probably talk for another hour or days about this because I think there's so much about communication. And I really like the concept of this mature communication because, you know, good communication just isn't enough to create a strong relationship or marriage, but you certainly can't build one without it. And you know, it's at the heart of successful problem solving. It's at the heart of real intimacy. We've talked about it. It's critical that you're able to say what you mean and mean what you say if you really want to have a good relationship. So my advice to my audience, what I want them to take away today is, you know, identify, you know, what you're doing. Identify the ways in which you're not communicating in a mature way, the way that Brian so beautifully described it. And, you know, and what you're picking up from your partners about what you think they might not be doing well. And then go to the internet. Do what Brian did. Go find good communicators. Buy my book. I have a chapter in my book, Blueprint for a Lasting Marriage, about communication, about positive communication. And then, you know, get help with this. I think that's really important. Is there anything you'd like to add, Brian?
No, that was it.
Terrific.
You just learn how to communicate. Just start studying. But realize even the experts, you know, John Gray.
Yeah.
Divorced, what, 2-3 times?
Yeah, I know we have to be careful about who our experts are.
Yeah. And I met a few other people who are relationship experts, and they're in their fourth marriage.
Yeah, and that's I'm so glad that you brought that up, because that's
show,
the conversation,
right?
That it's actually my conversation for next week. I'm actually talking to somebody next week about that very thing. So, doing bad couples therapy and about that very thing. So that was a great lead-in, Brian. I so appreciate it. And so you're listening to Happily Ever After is just the beginning. Join us next week for that wonderful conversation. And until then, stay loving.